Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara Lamad Gimel Lamad Aleph. We are 2 lines from the top. It's Amar Abaye. So we discussed the Asa Mitzray, that there was 2 interpretations of Rashi. What exactly this Hadassim came from? Rashi says that Lashon of Asa may have been like a boundary, and they grew it specifically on in an area by boundary of a field where there's no other plants, so that's why it's growing a lot of leaves. The other explanation just came from Egypt. It was an Egyptian type of hadassim that came from Egypt. So now Abaye says, Shmamina hayasa mitzray kasher lo shana. We learn from here that this ase mitzray is going to be kasher, because we mentioned before that even if some of them fell out, they're still going to be kasher, because they generally had 7 at each of their bases, as opposed to the normal case of our hadassim, which have 3. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why would it not be kasher? Obviously, it's going to be kasher. What was the havamina that it should be pasul? So the Gemara says, Ma'u desim ahoil ve'isle shem levai lomis kasher. I would have thought that they don't call it an asa. They don't call it just a general hadassim. They call it the hadassim either from Mitzrayim, or that's the shiloh that Chonim asked. But Rashi's first interpretation, that it grows by the boundary, what does that have to do with the name? The Chorah, that's nothing to do with the, if you I understand if it's Egyptian, well, that means it has another name. But the fact that it grows in a good location, why does that make it any worse? So that's the shaila of the Achronim and Rashi. But either way, that's the 2 interpretations of Rashi. So the Gemara says, so since it has another name to it, Kamash Malan, so I would have thought maybe that's not considered enough of the Hadassim. The Gemara says, no, that is considered valid, and it's going to be kosher. The Gemara says, Ve'im HaChanami, maybe you should assume that in HaChanami, that it has this other name, maybe it actually should pass all the Hadassim. So the Gemara says, no, because it says, Eitz Avos Amrachmana, the Pasuk says, Eitz Avos, which means that it should have 3 to it, which implies that it mikol makom, that it's going to be acceptable in any circumstance, and that means that it doesn't specify the name for which you have to use specifically the hadassim. We learned that it's going to be everything except the hadassim. There's no reason to exclude a different type, a different form of these hadassim. That should be totally kosher. Now the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan. So we learn in a Braisa, Yavshu Rov Alav, the majority of the leaves dried up, but 3 stems remain moist in these hadassim. Kasher, the Braisa tells us it's kasher. So Rashi explains that the Braisa is referring to a case where you have more than 3 hadassim that you require. If most of the leaves of the hadass are going to be, that are bundled up, are dried up, but 3 of the hadassim still have some moist leaves, they are going to be kasher because you have the minimum requirement of the hadassim. However, each of the hadassim, that's what the Gemara is saying over here, has to have 3 moist leaves, so it could be considered that it has it's going to be considered plated, that it has the 3 kasher stems. So the Gemara says, "V'amar v'chisra v'chisras qualifies this v'rosh kolechad v'echad." The moist leaves have to be the top of each one. That according to Rashi, this understanding is that the top of your hadassim, the very top. If you have a picture, it's very helpful. Again, that the top of your hadassim is going to be the ones that are green and very moist. That's what Rashi refers to. The Rush disagrees with Rashi, and according to the Rush, it means that when you have the 3 on each stem, you have the 3 coming out. So according to the Rush, generally 1 is considered like the outer one. It's like comes out a little bit more. So the Rush refers to that the 3 have to be consecutive between those 3 stems. That's what we're referring to over here. The outer one on each of those have to be moist. And halacha is interesting. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both. So the Chora, maybe you have to be machmir to assume that you would need both to assume that your hadassim are going to be kosher. But that's what Rav Chista's qualification is. Okay, we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says niktam rosho. If the top of the hadassim were chopped off, then it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says Tana Ula Be'er Chanina. Ula says in the name of Chanina, the Braisa niktam rosho also botamra kosher. That if the top was chopped off, but a date started to grow on it, apparently that they had like these small greenish date looking things that were going out of it, so then that there was like a bud, that would be kasher, as Rashi says, because that lechor is going to be hadar. The whole problem of having it cut off is that it's lacking hidur, it doesn't look nice. When it grows back like that, and with that stem, that now makes it look nice, so that's not a psul of hadar. Now the Gemara continues, by Rabbi Yirmiyah had a question. Niktam rosho me'erev yamtav ve'also botam rabbi yamtav. If the top was chopped off before yamtav, and then it grew the date on Yantiv. So then, mahu. What's going to be the halach over? Yesh dichoy etz mitzvos olo. Is there going to be, dichoy is a common, is the understanding that something is rejected, it no longer is fit for the mitzvah. Generally, this concept is presented in the Gemara in Zvachim with regards to halacha of karbanos. If you shechted an animal and there was some psul with the mizbeach when you shechted the animal, so now you have nowhere to be makar of the animal. So the question of the Gemara in Zvachim over there is that, even when you fix the mizbeach, the animal is no longer allowed to be, question. The Gemara assumes that that's called dichoy, and once it was rejected, it's no longer allowed to be fit to be offered again. So the Gemara is wondering over here, that is that the case with regards to mitzvos? Now, it's just important to note that our case, because it's going to be, the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to clarify this, but our case over here, the Gemara, when it's discussing dichoy, is discussing when it was dichoy from the beginning. Dichoy mikara is very for the beginning of Yantiv, from the time the mitzvah began. So the Gemara is not differentiating between a case in which it was rejected from mikara or when it was originally fit on Yantiv and then became pasul. I'm making that chiluk because on Amud Beis, it's going to be important that the Gemara is going to answer this question. So the Gemara says, v'tishalei mahadas nan. So again, this is Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. The fact that it wasn't kasher on yantiv, and now it's kasher on yantiv. Is that considered? Is there a concept of dichoy? Do we apply this case to rejection? Does that apply to other mitzvahs as well? Is it just by karbanos? Is it by mitzvahs as well? So the Gemara says, l'chor, we have a raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah Chulin tells us, kisov min isgala patam lechasos. If so, we're talking about covering kisvei adam, the mitzvah deraisa, the pasuk says that one has to be mechase for the animal of a chaya or of a bird. You have to cover the blood with the adama, with the ground, with the dirt. You cover it. So what happens, the mission discusses a case where if someone covered the blood and then it became uncovered, you're going to then be putter. Since you've already done it, so then since I've done it, then I covered the blood once, I don't have a chiyav to make sure that it always remains in a state of being covered. So the mission continues, kiso aruach chay v'chasov. However, what if it just happened, it was very windy, so then the dirt from the ground was moved by the wind and it covered the blood. So then if it later became exposed, so then the halacha is chayav l'chasos. Then you have a chiyav to do it because you never did the mitzvah. V'amar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chanan said the name of Rav Yochanan on this halacha. Lo shanu ela shechazar v'nizgala. They taught this halacha only with regards to the blood that became uncovered again. Aval lo chazar v'nizgala patim l'chasos. But if it did not become uncovered again, you're going to be totally putter since it's still in an uncovered state. There is no mitzvah to do the mitzvah kivut of kisur adam. The Gemara asks, v'avinam ba. We asked the question though on this, ki chazar nizgala amai chayav l'chasos. When the blood became uncovered again, after being covered by the wind, why are you chayav to then cover it again? Ha'il v'idchi idchi. Once it was rejected from being used for the mitzvah, in terms of Rashi explains it, ayadi haruach mikisoy shel mitzvah medekamar dechi lo nizgala patim l'chasos. The moment that it was covered, even naturally, that's called dichoy, because you no longer, relation to you, you no longer, there is no mitzvah on you to now cover it. So there is no mitzvah because the mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah though, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet you're not chayav to do the mitzvah anymore, so that's considered rejected over here. So since it's idchay, once it was rejected at a certain point, maybe you should assume idchay, so maybe you should assume that it should be permanently rejected and there should be no chayav to do the mitzvah. If we assume that there's dichoy mitzvahs over here, the halacha should be that you don't have to cover it again. So the Gemara says, V'amar Papa, so Rapapa said from this Mishnah that really, in fact, this is actually the raya. So we learn from this halacha that there is no permanent rejection in regards to mitzvahs, and that's why even though there was an original state where you were not chayav in the mitzvah because it was already naturally done and it happened from the wind, you know, since it now comes back, we learn from the Mishnah that we learn from this Mishnah over here that there is no dichoy by mitzvahs. So we see from here over here that Rav Papa's case is going to be the case where when it comes to the case of the blood, it was initially fit for covering and then it was rejected by being dichoy because the wind covered it. We see from over here then the case would be lechora by the Hadassim as well, which was going to be something that was unfit. It was unfit miikara, and then it came back to be okay when it grew the bud. So that's so the lechora we can make the same implication. If Rav Papa learned it out from the Mishnah, lechora to davar pasha, why would Rav Yirmiyah even have a suffix about it? So the Gemara says no. Rav Papa gufa mibayile. Rav Papa is his question himself was about this Mishnah. Mirsha pashit le de'ein dichoy l'tamitzus. Should we learn from this Mishnah over here, this Tana, that there is no concept of dichoy? There's no concept of once something is rejected by mitzvahs, you no longer could do that mitzvah, and the mitzvah is not going to be applicable Gemara. Lo shna l'kulav, lo shna l'chumra. Wait a second over here. That maybe we should learn that the Mishnah was talking about the case where it's going to be a chumra. When the blood which have been covered by the wind becomes uncovered, so you're going to be chayav to do it again. So if that's the case, so that you're going to in the case over there, then you would just be, if there is a concept of dichoy, it's making you putter from the mitzvah. However, in our case, we're telling you with regards to the broken hadas which came on yantiv is going to be kosher. That case it would lead to a kula. So that case of dichoy. So when our papa learned that the mitzvah the Mishnah was telling us that there is no permanent rejection in regards to mitzvahs, did he learn that is definitive what the Tana is saying, that we could extend the ruling to our case? case lekula, by the case of the hadasim, that it would be kosher. So the Gemara says odilma sfuke mesafkele, or maybe the matter is really a suffik. In which case, if it's a case of a suffik, lechumra mina, we're going to say that we're going to apply this halacha only lechumra, meaning the case of kisur adam. We'll tell you to do the kisur adam lekula lo mina, but in the case of the hadasim, maybe the hadasim over here are not going to be kosher. Because we really are choshes for the shita that says that at the end of the day, maybe there's dichoy by mitzvos, and therefore we would say that they're going to be pasul lekula l'arminun and teiku. Therefore, we're not sure how to answer this. So that's important to note. Again, this topic is unresolved on both ends with regards to Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question. On Amud Beis, we're going to alish be nifsha at the case of dichoy me'ikara. Now the Gemara goes on to say, wait a second, maybe this machlokas hamurayim is lema ketanai, is really a machlokas tanai. We mentioned that 99% of the time that lema ketanais are mentioned, it's going to be rejected, because lema ketanai is implying, why would amurayim have a question about this and argue about this when it's already a machlokas tanai? Why are you presenting it as machlokas hamurayim? So the Gemara says, avar ulekatan pasul. If one, lavar laktan, sorry, pasul. If someone violated the halacha, so we just said in the Mishnah, that, right, it's usher to be, to pluck the berries from the hadasim man yantiv. We're going to get to that because it's tikkun maneh. And if you did it, so then according to the Tanakhama, that's going to be pasul. However, divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. And the Chachamim disagree with them, Chachamim Akshirin, they said that the case is kasher. So the Gemara wants to point out now, Savruah, so when analyzing this Mishnah, the Gemara is assuming that in the Beis Midrash they assumed the kuli alma lulav ain't sarich eged. Everybody assumed that the lulav doesn't require being bound together with the other three meaning, the other two meaning at least with the hadasim and the aravos. They don't have to be in one bundle. You would be yotze the mitzvah even if they're not bundled together. So we're going to get to this is important because you don't have to actually make the lulav together with the dasim and the ravos to make them be fit for use. So the Gemara is going to mention why this is important, because we're going to get to tasev alav minas, so we'll get to that in a moment. But even if you're going to argue that maybe really the lulav does require being bound together with the hadasim and the ravos, so lo yalfina lulav misukah, then you're not going to derive the halacha from lulav from sukkah. What do we learn by sukkah? We learned achsiv ba tasev alav minas. That was the concept of that you have to make a sukkah. It implies has to be made in a kosher state and not something that's already made. And we give the had a few examples. One of them was, let's say you build your sukkah under a tree and there are branches of the tree that are attached to the tree, so that puzzles the schach. So if it's all under the tree, it's going to be puzzled. Let's say I cut down all of the branches, so then that's tasev and also, because your sukkah wasn't made in a state which is valid la lacha. You're now it's considered something that was not made in a state that can be made in a valid form. So we're comparing over here, if we would compare a lulav to the halachas of sukkah, so that we love that if you require lulav tzarech eged, Or if you assume that lulav tarich eged, then of eino tarich eged, so it doesn't matter how I make my lulav adasim and aravos, if they're not in a state that's kosher, because I don't need to do it anyway. But even if you do assume that it actually fundamentally is part of the mitzvah, so once I assume it's fundamentally part of the mitzvah, if I make it in a state, if I tie them together in a state where they weren't kosher and then made them kosher, that would be a problem of tasim and asoi. So like Gemara says, even if you learn that they have to be made together, bound together, once we assume that I'm tying them together, we're not assuming that there's a lach of tasev and asur. There is no problem. Even if I tie them together and the hadasim are pasul, and now I kasher them by plucking the berries, everyone's going to agree that it wouldn't be an issue. So the Gemara says, then what are they arguing about when you pluck the berries on yantiv? So the Gemara says, my lach bagmifikate lachora. They're arguing at the point of Rav Papa. They're arguing over Rav Papa's question. Demand the pasul savar yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos. That according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, who says that if you pluck them on yantiv, it's going to be pasul. He's understanding that there is dichoy by mitzvos, and therefore, since these hadasim fundamentally were not kasher on yantiv, they're considered pasul. The one who's machshir them, the chachamim who say that it's kosher, they're going to hold that we do not say that there's a lacha of permanent rejection in regards to mitzvos, and therefore they're going to assume that this dalad minim is going to be kosher, even though they were not kosher at the outset of yantiv. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, you don't have to assume like that." Tekuli alma lo amrin on yesh dichoy mitzvos. Everybody is going to agree that we don't say that there's a concept of being permanently rejected in regards to mitzvos. And so why would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, rather say that it's possible? Because halacha b'melech lulav mesukah k'mifkah. They're arguing over the first halacha. We assume as a davar pasher that you don't learn the halacha of lulav to sukkah. Who says that that's the case? Why shouldn't you say that there's a psul of tasev elam anasrei marshav ani lulav mesukah? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, we're learning the halachas of lulav to sukkah, and we therefore we rule that when when the lulav has to be bound together, it has to be bound together in a way that's going to be kosher. If you don't do it in a way that's kosher, then it's going to be tasev elamanasu. That's why over here, if you pluck them in a way that was what you already bound your dalam in together, and you pluck them to make them kosher, that's going to be a problem of tasev elamanasu. And therefore, when I later want to shake it, I am not making them in a kosher state, and that's why it's possible. Umar sefer lo yavin alulav sukkah. Whereas the chachamim, they disagree and they don't learn the halacha of lulav from sukkah, and they learn that tasev elamanasu is not a psul by lulav. So the Gemara says, or you can say a different explanation, the lulav tzerach eged, if you want to assume that the lulav does require being bound together with the other minim, so then the kuli alma yafina lulav masukah, everyone's going to agree there's a psul of tasev ilamana asoy. So then what are they arguing over here? Lulav tzerach eged kamiflegi. So they're arguing not about whether or not the lulav tasev and asoy applies, they're arguing whether or not lulav tzarech eged comes like whether or not the lulav has to be bound lechachilo or mamash ma'akev. Look at that, it's not. The Gemara says now lulav bein agud bein she'enu agud kasher. With regards to the lulav, whether I take them when they're bound or when they're not bound, it's still going to be kosher. If I just pick up the dalad minim, even if they're not tied together, I'm going to be yotze my mitzvah. We're going to see, and this is going to get to tomorrow's daf, lama dalad, that even according to many rishonim, even if I don't hold them at the same time, one after the other, I'm still yotze. If I do one after the other, I'm still yotze my mitzvah according to those rishonim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so that aga, that's a chumrah, that why you should be careful when you pick up your esrog, don't pick it up with the pitum facing down, then turn it down. You should pick it up the whole time with the pitum facing down, because if you picked it up with the pitum facing up, according to those Rishonim, once I pick up my lulav and hadasim and aravos together with that esrog, even though now the pitum is down, if I picked it up originally when the pitum was up, if it's one after the other, according to those Rishonim, I was already yotze. So to be machmer for that shita, because then there'd be a problem making a bracha. So to be machmer for that shita, that's why we recommend don't pick up the esrog in a way that you would that the pitum is up. So now the Gemara says, So that was the kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Agud Kasher Shin Agud Pasul, that he holds it has to be bound even Maker Adin. You're not Mekayev the mitzvah of Dalad Minim unless they are bound together. So the Gemara says, my time in Rabbi Yehuda. So now, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, Yalef Lekicha Lechicha Megudas Eza. We discussed this Gemara a little bit earlier. I think it was around Yud Aleph. We discussed this Limud that Rabbi Yehuda learned out Gzera Shava from the Ezov that they took out when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. It's written with regard to taking on the first day, obviously, the lulav and esrog and everything. We know when it comes to they took the ezov, it was bound together. The ezov turns up a hyssop, so that they take that ezov malal and aguda. There, it must be in a bundle. Avkan aguda sotir has to be in a bundle, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda learns that it has to be mamish ma'akiv. It has to be bound together. Rabbanan leis lekzer shuv lekicha lekicha. Remember we mentioned Rashi told us over there that gzer shava, you don't learn gzer shava, it has to be a mesora. So Rabbanan didn't have this mesora alakom much mesina to learn this gzer shava of lekicha lekicha. So we see from here that the machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok and the Chachamim is not related to whether or not it's regards to dichoy and mitzvot. Rather, it's a different halacha whether or not we learn that tasev and masay applies. The question is bounding your lulav and esro, lulav and hadasim and aravos together, is that ma'akev me'ikra din or not? If it's ma'akev, then we're going to assume that the concept of tasev and masay would apply and plucking would an issue. If it's not ma'akev, then it's not an issue if the berries were plucked after I had already bound them together. So Gemara says, wait a second though. Mantan al hadatan rabbanan. Once you mention the lach of bounding together, there's a brisa that says lulav mitzvah la agdo. With regards to lulav, there's a mitzvah to bind it with the other minim. V'im lo av the other kasher. So this is din lechachila. It's din lechachila. Money. So who's the shita? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda. If it's an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, ki la agdo my kasher. If according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't bind it, why it's going to be kasher? It's ma'akev even b'diavad. So lechora can't be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan my mitzvah kaved. But according to Rabbanan, what mitzvah does one fulfill by binding it? So the Gemara says, Olam Rabbanan. Really, the opinion is of that of the Rabbanan. And why do they say to do it? Mishum mitzvah zekeler veyo. They say that it's a mitzvah to bind it together because of the general concept of hidr mitzvah, that when you're beautifying the mitzvah, this is the regular case of zekeler and veyo, that you're, when you bind them together, it's nicer way to do the mitzvah, so we agree lechachil. That's how we pass on halacha maisa, that we are ma'afmer to put them together based on the Rabbanan, because we assume that there's a mitzvah zekeler veyo to bind them together. Now, continuing the Mishnah said, Oshe anav merubim. If there are more berries than leaves, then that would be an issue, and the hadasim are going to be possible. So the Mishnah says, Amar of Chista, Davar Zer Rabbeinu Agadol Amro. So this teaching I learned from my Rabbi, his Rabbi was Rav. Makom Yeh Be'ezra Hashem should be with him. Lo Shano El Makom Echad. They taught that Hadassim are going to be possible only when they're all in one place. If you have a ton of berries in one area, and there are more berries there than all the leaves of the Hadassim, that's when it's possible. However, Aval Bishnayim O Shloshim Mekom Has Kasher, if they are spread out between two or three places of the Hadassim, it's going to be Kasher. So Amar Le Rava, or Amar Rava, Yerseb Bach changes it to Amar Rava, that what Rava responded, asked on this, Shnayim Shloshim Mekomos, if the berries are in two or three places, Havi Menumar Apostle. Why would that be? Lachor, there's a psul of Hidr, that when you have the berries, it doesn't look nice, the berries are a different color, we're going to get to that moment. The berries are a different color, and the fact that they're there is ugly. So if you have the three of them on different leaves, on different stems, that's manumer, that's me speckled, that's not something that's nice either. That's also a possible, it's also not beautiful, as Rashi says. So the Gemara says, Eli Itmar, Hachi Itmar. So if you want to learn the halacha of what Rav said, it must be like this. Oh, Shayu Anav Merubin Me'alav Pasul. The Mishnah told us that if you have more berries than leaves, it's going to be Pasul. Amar Rav Chista, which Rav Chista said to this, Davar Zerabino Agadol Amru Vemakum Yabe Ezra, Lo Shanu Anav of Shechoros. So he quoted the name of Rav. Now that they taught this halacha that Hadassah is going to be Pasul only with regard to if the berries are black, of Anav Yerukos, which is apparently his earlier stage of the berry, their first green, mine the hadas uvikasher. Now that's just like a hemshich of the hadas. That's not a problem of being menumar. That's not a problem of being speckled. That's not an issue at all. And according to this version, if you have them being green, there is no problem whatsoever. That's what we're learning over here. The Gemara now continues. Amar Papa Adamos Kishchoras Damian. So if you have red berries, those are going to be like black ones because they're not green. Damar Rab Chanina, so that's the question. Why do you have to bring a briar for that? I know that if it doesn't look nice, if it's not green, the hadasim are green, and this is also green. Why do you have to bring that black out of Avamina from the halacha about to mention about Nida? Amar Rab Chanina, the high dam shachar. If you have black blood, Adamu Shalaka. In regards to Hilchos Nida, a woman's only going to become a Nida if she's having blood, the shade of something that's red. So the Mishnah Nida teaches us if you have black, that's also going to be a Nida because the Gemara says that black is just a darkened shade of red. So that's it's just red and now it became black. So it really is a shade of red. So we're mentioning over here that black and red are the same thing. So they're both puzzles. I'm going to just ask again, why do you have to bring this from Hilchos Nida? I know that black and red are just not nice. It's all a problem of not looking the same as the green. And if it was yellow, pink, or any other color, it would be a problem. It doesn't matter as long as it's not green, that's going to be the psul over here. Okay, that's a good question. The Gemara now goes, Imyatan Kasher, if you decreases the berries on Yantiv, before Yantiv, it's going to be Kasher. The Gemara says, the Matinu Ema. So now we're getting back to Lach of Dichoy a little bit here. When did the person remove the berries? Ilim Mikame de la'agde. If you did it before you bundled the Hadassim with the Lulav, then everyone would agree that if Shita, that's obvious, the entire Lulav is going to be Kasher. There's no Havamina that it would be possible because I did it. There's no concept of tichoy. It was at the time that it was inserted, the hadassim were totally kosher. So it was never unfit for the mitzvah, and we don't consider it unfit. Elo levaser de la agde. Rather, the mission must be telling us a case where it was decreased after you bundled it. So after you bundled it together, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, and that would be telling you dichoy mikaru. That Mishnah would be telling you that it was something that was rejected from the beginning. At the moment, it was designated for the mitzvah before yantov. It was bundled. It's still considered a dichoy, and yet we're telling you, Tisha Mina, the Dicha Mikar Lavi Dichoy. So it should be told on this, based on this Mishnah, that the case of the mitzvah of Dichoy, when something's rejected from the outset and later became kosher, then at least this question should be answered. Again, we mentioned that Rabbi Yirmiyah really had two questions. There's two possible cases, the case of Dichoy. In one case, the thing was puzzle at the beginning, and then the Dichoy was removed. The disqualification was later made okay. So another possibility is that the object was actually kosher and later developed something which would disqualify it and then became kasher. So the first case is much less of a chiddush. The second case is a much bigger chiddush. Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't differentiate, and he was wondering about both these cases. But the Gemara is wondering right now, well, let's learn from the Mishnah that at least the case where it was the first case where it was rejected meikara before yantiv, if the psul is no longer applicable, it's now going to be kosher. The only case of dichoy should then be when the hadas was fit at the beginning of yantiv and later became pasul on yantiv and then became kosher. So Gemara says lo'osam lo'lam basar agde. No, you don't have to bring a raya from this Mishnah. You don't have to bring a raya from the Mishnah because you could say that we're talking about we bundled it after the hadas with the lulav. So again, so when did you do this? You decrease the berries after you bundle the hadas because our egad is manav almahu. The Tana holds that when you were binding them before yantiv, that's just designating them for the mitzvah. As manav almalav klumi, that's not actually doing the mitzvah. We're talking about where you do it before yantiv. So if you do it before yantiv, that's not considered something that's considered shayach to the mitzvah, and it's not considered something that's puzzle, and it's only going to be disqualified at nighttime before the yantiv. That's the shayla that we mentioned on based on Manav, that is right. The nighttime before is going to create the dichoy on yantiv. Why is that though? Nighttime is not a
as a man that's roi for mitzvahs. So Shetra always likes to say that what is the mechayev of lul, and same thing by shofar also, the same thing of halacha dichoy already applies from the night before, even though these mitzvahs can only be done the next morning. So why shouldn't the dichoy only apply from the next morning when the mitzvah could be shayach? So Rav Shetra always likes to say, Yantav is a mechayev. Yantav is a mechayev of shofar. Yantav is a mechayev of the mitzvah of lulav. And in Echanami, it's the night before is the start of yantav, so that already is considered the halacha of dichoy. And so that's an afkamina with regards to halacha of dichoy. We have a similar concept by the halacha by a bris. There's a by the night before. We also have certain things that we assume that the mitzvah kicks in already from the night before, even though you can't mechayev the mitzvah until the next morning. Now the Mishnah says further, "V'imatim biyantav, you don't decrease these berries on yantav." The Gemara says, "Why? However, v'lakdan mai. What's the halacha if you actually pluck them on yantav?" So the Gemara says, "Kosher. It's going to be kosher." Machlokas, by the way, Rashi and the Mordechai, whether doing this is going to be an iser d'orais or not. So if you did it though, if you did this and you undid them, it's going to be kosher. If you pluck them, it's going to be kosher. The hadas is going to be kosher. The ashkar imas. But when did the berries turn black? Ilema the ashkar me'etmal. So if you're going to assume that they turned black the day before yantiv, so then dicho me'karu. So then we could actually learn from this mishnah though that if I pluck them and I pluck them if they became the hadas was puzzle and was rejected before the beginning of yantiv when yantiv began. So that implies that still if I pluck them, it's still going to be kosher. So we should actually learn from this halacha. That something based on this Mishnah, in the case of the mitzvah, something that was rejected from the outset and later became kasher, but it was from the outset, from the beginning, before yantiv, then that case should not have the lachas of dichoy. And I'll have the ashkar b'yantiv. So if you're going to tell me that, so that no, you don't have to bring a raya from there, maybe it actually became black on yantiv itself. Nireh v'nidchu, that's even a bigger chiddush, that something was kasher originally fit and then became pasul. We mentioned that that's a bigger chiddush because now it was kasher, then became pasul on yantiv, and now it's becoming kasher again. That's mamish the case of dichoy. So then that's even a bigger chiddush. So then tell me that the both of them should be answered. They should have dichoy. So we have to take the lesser chiddush. We should learn from here that would be the case, that the Mishnah would then be learning that something was originally fit and later become rejected is going to be fit for use. Again, that's a much bigger chiddush. So my answer is no. We're not giving the answer to the bigger chiddush. Olam the ashkar meikara. Rather, we're just going the berries turn black from the outset before yantiv. Dichoy meikara the lavi dichoy tishum. And Echanami, yes, we're learning that something that wasn't fit before the zman of the mitzvah came in and then became kosher, that is going to be kosher by mitzvah. Saval nira v'nidcha chozer nira lo tisha. But we don't answer the second question of Yirmiyah, when you have a mitzvah that was originally fit and then became rejected, which is a much bigger chiddush. We're not sure. That's still going to remain unresolved, and we don't know what's going to be the answer with that Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanu Leinu Rabbeisa in Matan B'Yantov. You're not allowed to decrease the berries in Yantov. Mishum Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Amar Matan. He says that you are allowed to decrease the berries on Yantov. So the Gemara says, if I'm a kamasakin on a yantov. So now the Gemara explains what is one doing. You're fixing the hadassim. The hadassim were not fit for your mitzvah. Now they're fit for the mitzvah. That's tikkun mana. So that's the shell over here in the Rashi and the Mordechai. Is this an issur d'oraisa or issur d'rabbanan? According to Mordechai, it's an issur d'oraisa. It's tikkun mana lagamrei. Your mom is fixing something, and that's going to be an issur d'oraisa. So Gemara says Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says kengon shelakdan la'achila. We're discussing a case where someone plucked the berries for the purpose of eating them, and not for the purposes of fixing your hadassim to use them on yantov. So then there's no issue. That's why Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov says that the Rabbi Lezer Ben Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. The Gemara says Rabbi Lezer, why does he say mutter? Rabbi Lezer Ben Shimon, several kavua de Amar. He's always like Rabbi Shimon. He's the son of Rabbi Shimon Baruch Chai. Rabbi Lezer Beno, right? They're buried together in Miron. So davar she'ein miskaven mutter. So because he holds something that's unintentional, it's going to be mutter. Meaning the exact classic example of davar she'ein miskaven, someone who's dragging a bench on a field on Shabbos. So you might create You might create a furrow on the ground. So that is going to be, you're going to do malach of choresh. So since it's not inevitably going to happen, that's gedavar shem miskaven, that's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, but wait a second though, that's only when something is not inevitably going to happen, but something that's for sure going to happen, like this case, why am I removing it? I'm removing it for an alternate purpose, but I know for sure that I'm removing it though, to be machshir the hadas. Shimon is going to agree that something that's inevitable is also going to be a problem, even though he holds that something that's not inevitable is kosher, but something that definitely is going to happen. So that literally means that a psik reisha v'loyamos, that if you cut off its head, it's not going to die, meaning that he agrees that something that's going to be for sure going to happen, that is going to be a malacha, that's going to be a problem. So like for example, can you cut off the head of an animal on Shabbos and claim you don't want the actual malacha of shechita? It doesn't matter. If you did the malacha of shechita, you know for sure you're doing the malacha of shechita. So that's not called davar shemiskaven, that's psik reisha. So it's here over. Also, the fact that I want to eat it right now, but I also wanted the hadassim. So the Gemara answers over here, so what are we dealing with over here? The Islay Oshana Achri. Brite, where the person has another Hoshana, he has other Hadassim to do the mitzvah over here. Since you have other valid Hadassim, you don't plan, it's you're totally irrelevant to him whether or not you're going to be plucking these Hadassim, because you're not using them for the mitzvah. So according to this, we're learning over here that it's really davar shenu miskaven. It's not even shayach to the davar shenu miskaven according to Rashi. We according to this, Rabbi Yehuda would agree also that this case it's nothing. There's no issue at all. But you're plucking something just to eat it. That's all you're doing. That's totally why it's mutter. There's another explanation. This is the famous explanation of the Aruch. The Aruch wanted to learn from this Gemara that if psik resha delo nichale is going to be mutter, at least when it's potentially nisur darbanan here. So I guess you also nisur darbanan over here. That when you're doing something inevitable, but it's lo nichale. You don't care. You don't care that it's a kasher for hadasim. I have other hadasim, so it's not something that I care about. Therefore, it's going to be mutter. That's a very big kula that potentially could apply in Hilchos Shabbos. When do we apply that? We use it as a tziruf lekula for other things. We don't pass like that arach straight up, but we definitely will use it as a sniff lekula for other examples. Where you need to, and where there's a major tzorach also to rely on psik risha lo nichale and an isur derbanan. There are examples where Letzorech, we will rely on that. That's a very important halacha that Aruch learns from this Gemara over here. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in Rabbi. So Huter Agda B'Yantav. If the binding came apart on Yantav, what do you do? Agda Kaguda Shal Yarek. You should wrap it in a manner that's like a bundle of vegetables, which is not a way to do it, which is going to be permanent, and that's not an issue of tying on Yantav. The Gemara says, Vamai Leanev Manev. Why don't you tie it with a bow? That way is also going to be, it's more secure, and it's also not an issue of tying a knot on Yantav and Shabbos. So Gemara says, Hamani. Who is the opinion of this Bryce? Rabbi Yehuda. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Amar Anivak Shira. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that this is a proper noun in Yantiv, and this proper noun in Yantiv is usher to make on Yantiv. So the Gemara says, "You're Rabbi Yehuda," but if it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so then Agud Ma'al Yasabaya. But Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion that you can't tying it in this proper knot is not going to be kosher for lula. So how could he tell you that just wrapping it in a bundle of vegetables, which is not a real formal way of wrapping it, is going to be kosher? How could that be? So the Gemara says, "Hi Tana Sarai." It's not Rabbi Yehuda, rather Hi Tana Sarai Lakavasi B'Chad. It's a Tana who we don't know it is. He held like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to the of making a bow on Yantav being usher, so he doesn't allow you to make a bow. However, Palag Labachadi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda that he holds that a lulav has to be tied together in a proper knot. So Lamaisa, the Rashi points out that we learn from the Gemara that it should be tied with a proper knot, and that's how lechachila. When we do zekel and veveu, it should be tied with a proper knot. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses our minhag. Though our minhag is that we put the lulav medasim maravos in these in the things that are like I don't know what kosher klach that's in Yiddish, like the things that you put them in, the lulav holders. So these lulav holders, those are something that are woven with palm trees. That's going to be kosher. That interlocking of the woven palm trees, that's considered a form of tying according to Mishnah Berurah. And we're yotzei that making a proper knot as Rashi wants to tie it over here. Okay, but Ezra Shem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah on tomorrow. Rose stuff.